This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Just quickly, the game hasn't started. Man U Fulham, so EPL underway today. Look, it's three now at most shops, but if you can find 2.5 on the total, go over Man U and Fulham. I frankly, what I'm using, I couldn't get anything 2.5, but there are some shops showing 2.5. I would go over that. Lay off the three, okay? Just wanted to start there as we welcome you into the program. Again, English Premier League, a 9-month 380-game odyssey. We're going to be doing a lot more of it. We're talking VSiN 3.0 with, you know, kind of letting you in on other sports, including horse racing. More on that to come in just a bit. We're going to be betting Saratoga live on the program today on a Friday. What would you do if you were hanging out with your friends on a Friday and there were ponies running? Even if you didn't know what you were talking about, you'd want to get some cash down. We know what we're talking about. Samich is going to be in the mix. Del Mar runs later. We're going to bet some horses. We've got soccer. All these global leagues are starting up again. We've got La Liga. We've got Ligue 1 in France. We've got DFB Pokal in Germany. We've got English Premier League, like I said. So we're going to have soccer plays throughout the day. But I wanted to get that one in. Man U and Fulham has started. So maybe what you like to do, again, you can wait and see, you know, 10, 12 minutes into the game, if they dip that three down to 2.5, I do think we get the three goals. We shall see. Man U in a tough spot this year because the manager, kind of a lame duck. Expectations are always high for Manchester United, kind of like the Dallas Cowboys of global soccer. They added a defenseman. Their defense was porous last year. He's out for 2 to 3 months, but they should have enough quality to get past Fulham at home today. We shall see. Who are we? I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. He's Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D, downtown Las Vegas. There's a ton to do, and as we welcome you in, hunger strike, 68 hours and running. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. We do have, I'm going to count them up right now, we have 13 preseason games tomorrow. So what I wanted to do on today's program is give you an idea of some of the variants, some of the line movement when it comes to preseason football. You're not going to see this unless there's, you know, an aberration. You're not going to see this type of line movement when it comes to the regular season, but we'll talk about the line movement. And again, everything's changed. You know, even pros are having to adjust. The idea of attacking preseason games and knowing more than the books, that's long gone because everybody's handling it differently. And wait till you see what Sean McVay is doing. If you need any evidence that the preseason has become a joke, coming up later in the program, I'm going to tell you exactly what Sean McVay is doing. Of course, we'll talk what happened last night, Foxborough. One thing you need to understand is there is a correlation going, and there's a correlation running through the preseason so far this year. And that is correlative betting, you know, dogs, unders, faves, overs. It's not foolproof, but again, it is a correlative situation. And last night you had another dog with Philadelphia as a 3-point dog, beating New England 14-13, and you had another, again, I'm blanket with these totals, you had another under cash with the Pats hosting the Eagles. We'll get to the rookie quarterbacks and everything that's online for Drake May and the rest of them. Now, I was thinking about the quarterback competitions, and this is something we want to touch on as well. What you're looking forward to, you know, the impetus for these coaches going into week two of the preseason. Remember, week two would be old school, what we thought of as a dress rehearsal. The old school way and the old school approach was, you know, this is beyond and before what we consider to be like now with these scrimmages leading into the preseason games. You used to have four preseason games, and game number three was the dress rehearsal, because then coaches obviously wrapped everybody up game four to get ready for the regular season. But let's see what we have. I guess technically, you know, you've got an organization like the Las Vegas Raiders. Hey, whether or not he's a donk, the head coach is essentially saying, I'm going to let you know who our starter is after week two of the preseason, which it makes Antonio Pierce, it makes legitimately no sense to put that out there. If you want to have an internal conversation that within the coaching staff, within the organization, you're going to go Minshew or O'Connell, fine. It just shows his greenness as a coach to put it out there and put some sort of restriction and time frame on himself with the media. Make no sense. None whatsoever. You know, maybe he starts to figure it out throughout the regular season. Obviously, the vibes were high when Pierce took over. Mr. Cohen, you know, Steve Cohen, the rest of the crew that loved the Raiders, you know, Black and so whatever. Look, Minshew's going to be your starter. And we'll get into why he should be the starter coming up in just a little bit on the program as well. Coaches are handling tomorrow very differently. For example, Andy Reid, he being a donk, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's going to go ahead and start his starters. Makes sense. Patrick Mahomes, one of the all-time greats. Go ahead, throw him out there. He needs the reps. That is not at all. So frustrating from that perspective. We shall discuss. Daniel Jones is going to get some run. Russell Wilson's going to get some run. Stetson Bennett is going to get some run, and that tells you everything you need to know about the Los Angeles Rams. What else is on tap today? Let's go ahead and throw up the guest list for Sharp Money. Thomas Gable is going to move back 15 minutes. The Borgata. He runs the Race and Sportsbook in Atlantic City at the Borgata. TG is going to join us. Always look forward. Last time we talked to TG, he was sitting next to the big guy in downtown Las Vegas, so very cool. Mick Ciella, Fantrax, senior analyst, fantasy pros, and betting pros writer, will join. And Mike Somich, friendship, professional handicapper, is going to stop by. And I threw a Hail Mary. And again, it's not about me as we say hi to the big guy for the first time today. It's not about me, but I will say, you know, doing my best with the English Premier League, doing my best with global soccer, doing my best with the horse racing, but also battling COVID. Can't taste. We'll get to that. And so I threw Mike Somich. I said, look, I need something here. The big guy's not going to pick me up. You know, he's focused on double play. He's got the baseball. You know, what's happening with Yelich? Who freaking cares? I said, Somich, are you betting Saratoga? I need a play. Someone's got to pick me up on a Friday. COVID happened on Saturday. Let me get this cup out of the way. COVID happened on Saturday. Battled through it Sunday, Monday. You know how it goes, big guy. Tuesday battling, Wednesday battling, Thursday battling, and here I am on Friday, 68 hours, haven't eaten a morsel of food, fueled on water, green tea, and Zin. You understand what I'm saying? So I said, Somich, you're our partner. Pick me up. And he just did. We've got a play in race 5, Saratoga, which I'll get to in a second. Would you like to defend yourself?
Yeah, let's be fair. If you were fully healthy and fully nourished eating your regular diet, you wouldn't be able to pick me up anyway.
I mean, that, you know what? If, and this is the barometer, what you're looking for, kind of like juice on a bet, you know, which way is the juice going? That'll let you know which way the line is moving. Which way the 3 hours for Dustin Sweetelson will go in the program. If he starts off with a good shtick or joke, he generally does better. So hopefully that carries out throughout the program.
Yeah, a lot of people say I remind them of Steve Prefontaine. Ooh. Steve Prefontaine, the greatest American long distance runner of all time. He was a front runner. I am indeed a front runner. Get out in front of things. If you're performing well, it continues. And if you end up losing early in the race, you just bail and say you never were there.
I like to read into text messages. And I'm just going to say this. I don't love the tone of Somich's text he just sent me, but I'll still give out the play.
Okay.
We've got our family plays coming up later in the pro, and we got to give props to the boys. We absolutely cleaned up yesterday with a bunch of plus money winners as well. We'll get to that. Somich said, race 5, 12 minutes to post. I like the 2. So Saratoga, let's get into this as a family, people. Saratoga, race 5, 12 minutes the post. He likes the 2. All right? Are you going to get down?
I'm going to do it right now. I had a rough day yesterday, if we're being honest. Not betting-wise. Cleaned up. Great day betting-wise. Also, great NFL preseason so far for your boy. 5-1 so far in the NFL preseason. So you want to know how to bet on these games, I'll tell you, Patrick. Don't worry. But I will admit that 24 hours ago, I was not a team player. I was not open to the suggestions of someone I respect in Mike Somich. And while I did win the bet that I placed, he got a better number. He cashed earlier, and he got a plus 130, where I end up laying $1.20. So I have to be a better team player. I have to create the vibes. I'm kind of the vibe police around here. That's my job. And I need to help generate those positive vibes by tailing Mike on this race. What are we betting again? I was talking for so long, I forgot. Saratoga?
If you're the vibe police, we're all about to get arrested. 7-2 on the 2. 7 minutes to post. Highway Harmony. Up top is Flavian Pratt.
Oh, I know him.
Good rider. So 7-2, 3.5-1 on the 2 horse right now. We're going to try to beat the favorite, a Sacred Image, breaking out of the 10 posts. So again, 8.5 furlongs, longer race. Conditions are good. 50K claiming. All right, so let's go. Come on, Samich. And again, maybe I'm reading too much into the text, but it was very straightforward. It's not, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you feeling? I know you've got COVID. It was just like race 5, horse 2. 12 minutes to post.
Well, we can establish.
We love the vibes.
We admit that Samich is smarter than us, and he knows.
No, he's not smarter than me. He's definitely smarter than you.
He's probably smarter than you. But he really thinks I'm dumb because he texted me. I said, hey, any article this week we can promote over at VSiN.com. Mike writes awesome articles. He goes, not one today. I did drop one earlier in the week. You want me to send it over? Mike, do you think I don't know how to use the internet? Do you think you get a body like this by not knowing how to operate Google search functions for the name Mike Samich and VSiN? Don't worry, found the article. What's annoying is I agree with a lot of the bets in the article. We'll get to
that.
But
again,
later.
Everything you just said was nonsensical. He was just trying to be helpful, and then he went into a crazy rant about not Googling.
He thinks I'm stupid.
I didn't say he doesn't. Line moves, week 2, preseason. Coming up, also, get in on the horse, number 2, coming up, race 5, Saratoga. Okay, 3 minutes to post, Saratoga, race 5. It had floated up Highway Harmony, the 2, which we're betting from Samich. It had floated up 4-1. It's now co-favoritism between the 2. And it looks like the 10 at 7-2. So floated back down. Now it's floated down to 3-1. Samich is on the right side of the steam. Let's get this 2 home in race 5. 2 minutes to post at Saratoga. We welcome you back. I got COVID brain. Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Sharp Money. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I thought Gable was coming up in an hour. But my friend, my good friend, not Dustin's, Thomas Gable, who runs the Borgata Race and Sportsbook in Atlantic City, is joining us now. So, again, Thomas, not a big deal, but I've just been battling COVID, and I apologize. I got your times mixed up here.
I'm very sorry to hear that. Did you miss any work due to that?
Come on now. You're talking to me. Of course I didn't miss work.
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know. I know you like to take off the whole month of July, but COVID keeps you going, so that's great.
The month of July,
I'm
but the rest
you're
of
battling
it,
through.
you can rely on me. Now, I am in a hunger strike because I can't taste food, so I've gone 68 hours without eating food. I refuse to do it, TG.
Are you hallucinating yet?
No, I feel great. Actually, I'm surprisingly, the first 24 hours, I was super hungry. Now I just feel on top of the world.
Well, that's great. And, listen, I'm glad that you're feeling okay, considering that you're not eating and you have COVID. So, but hopefully you're back to your normal self soon.
Entertaining America, 68 straight hours of no food. Tell me somebody that can do it, TG. Anyway, let's talk about your time in Vegas. You know, disappointed the big guy
sure.
with Palm versus the big guy. That's okay.
Yeah.
You went to the Hall of Fame induction there at Circa.
Yes.
Give us a wrap up. How was your time in Las Vegas?
Good trip. I thought a lot of the panels were pretty well done. And the seminars, but as far as Bet Bash goes, but the Hall of Fame was very nice. I thought Richie gave a great speech on his induction, and you know there was obviously a lot of big names that went in. Nick Bogdanovich, Ron Sacco, who essentially started the offshore industry. He was kind of the headliner, so to speak, for the class. But very well done by Mike Palm as the MC. He did a great job. Threw in some good humor there. And actually, when he was introducing Ron Sacco, he said, now for the gentleman who put Steve Croft on the map, because Steve Croft was the host for 60 Minutes for that infamous Ron Sacco interview when I guess that really led to an indictment for him. So Palm always comes in with some humor. And I will say this. I listened to Palm versus the Big Guy yesterday, and while I can certainly go with your ruling that it was a push, I would have – honestly, I probably would have leaned Dustin yesterday simply because I liked the newspaper – I liked his newspaper answer better than Palm's. Palm was too much into this Parade magazine answer. Dustin's answer was very good for the newspaper. That's what a – leaned. I would have leaned definitely towards Dustin yesterday, but
well, it just so happens that I have the scoring right in front of me, and I gave him the check mark for the newspaper answer.
Okay,
it is quite fitting, quite fitting, quite fitting that you you boogie back to Atlantic City and then call in with Dustin when you sat right next to him. You had it a clean sweep for Palm.
Almost a clean sweep. Almost. I think I gave one to Dustin last week when I was there, but I thought yesterday was a much better showing in terms of the competition for Dustin than it was last week. I know you gave it to Dustin last week. You and I were at odds with that, but I thought it was a very good showing from Dustin yesterday.
Yeah, I had it as a push, so I think it's fair. Let's do this. So we were talking about it. There's, you know, the dogs and unders in the preseason. I don't know if you want to call it a dress rehearsal because it's just handled so differently these days, but we do have 13 games tomorrow, preseason week two. Are they betting them there at the Borgata?
Yeah, it's not only dogs, Patrick, and unders. You have to look at what has happened to people who have chased steam here. It hasn't gone well. And I think it was 1-9 for week one. And then if you, again, tried to chase steam with New England yesterday, it didn't work out. So really, if you are not the steam here, if you're just chasing the steam on these games, you have not had a good showing here through week one and certainly last night. Now, the unders, I will say, and I don't know, I haven't really tracked this too much, but these second half totals, I'm almost under the impression you should just kind of blindly bet them under because you have the teams that by the second half, when that comes, typically you're down to third string guys or guys on the who won't even make the team after training camp. And for the most part, the coaches are just trying to get out of there. Nobody's trying to get into overtime. So I don't know if you just kind of look at the second half and blindly bet the unders there or not. I haven't really looked at what that record would be if you do that, but it just seems to feel that way. But yeah, I mean, listen, I think the unders continue here. I thought there might be a little bit more offense coming into this week. Some of the quarterbacks maybe opening it up a little bit, throwing the ball downfield a little bit more. Obviously, you have some quarterbacks, QB1s, that will be seeing some time this week, and coaches, again, you know, have been talking about who they're going to be playing, and case in point with the Lions and Chiefs. Chiefs now 7, and probably could even get up to 7.5 in that game. We know that Detroit's not going to try much at all, and Andy Reid obviously is going to get the starters some reps there for the first half. So, you know, when you're looking at these line moves for preseason, they're really predicated on a couple of things. One, sharp groups either giving out plays and moving the market because, let's face it, it doesn't take a ton of money, a ton of bets to move a number in preseason. So when an influential group will give it out to their followers and everybody kind of hits a game at once, that's certainly going to move a number quite a bit. We certainly saw that in week one of the preseason. But then, you know, it's also when these coaches have press conferences and information that they're giving out. And, you know, we certainly will move on air based on what coaches say, and also again following the beat reporters there for each city and each individual team, and seeing what information you can glean from them. I mean, this is a very information based market, especially with the lower limits, and it doesn't take a whole lot to move a spread. Or even really a total in the preseason. You know, a couple limit bets, and you may move at a point and a half, and it's not like it is during the regular season.
Yeah, big swings. That Lions-Chiefs game, a 3.5-point swing from 3.5 up to 7. Thomas Gable, the Borgata progressive guest line. And you're right, we had a kid named the Hitman on last week, and I know for a fact that when he places bets in the preseason, the numbers do move. So less volume, lower limits, it's going to have a bigger impact. Let me ask you a question quickly, because you're so close to Philly, and we just have 2 minutes here. We had Ed Kratz on, who you know covers the Eagles, yesterday. I said 10.5 season win total. He had him at 10 wins. It just in a minute and a half, tell me your take on the Eagles this year.
10 wins, I think, is about the right number. We are at 10.5, and certainly we're taking money to the over, but that's really just due to where we're at. You know, I got in a discussion with someone at the end of last season when the Eagles were kind of in that free fall, and then ended up losing to Tampa in the playoffs. And what would the season win opener be at? And 9.5 was certainly going to be too low. I think 10's the right number, but 10.5, obviously, you don't want to have any pushes in that market. So, you know, you're always going to have a half a game for the most part for NFL season wins. And, you know, 10 just feels right. I mean, the division should be theirs as long as, you know, we kind of get Jalen Hurts back to looking healthy again and kind of back into that mode. And two new coordinators both on both sides of the ball. So a lot of big things are expected here from Philly. And, you know, Dallas is probably going to take a step back. And I think there's one team that maybe you look at in that division that might surprise some people is the Commanders.
Thank you, Thomas. Love to hear that. I got a big bet with the boys about the Commanders. Thomas Gable, listen, earlier is even better to talk to you. He runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. Have a great weekend, Thomas. Good to talk to you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Hey, just quickly. So our two horse in the fifth finished second, got run down late by the three, who is 11-1. So, Samich, what does that mean? It means let's get in on the 6th at Saratoga. Post time like 20 minutes. Let's go, Samo. We'll come back with those swings in the preseason next. Okay, exciting times here on VSiN. Episode 1 of Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million is going to make its debut Monday night on VSiN. The 5-part docuseries takes you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circa Survivor contest. Follow the contestants as they make all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season and go behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. Wow! Watch Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million on Monday. That's 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on VSiN.com. You can also watch it on YouTube TV. And we're going to broadcast it live on X, a.k.a. Twitter. Shout to Elon. Again, reality TV on VSiN. Who would have thunk it? It's going to be great programming. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. The big guy begging to be in the documentary and wasn't allowed, which is hilarious. As we say hi to Dustin Sweetelson live, he's hanging out with Steph Smalls, you know, just posting thirst traps. Okay, I'll let you in behind the scenes just a little bit. Here's what happened. So there was a documentary being filmed, which we're going to air 9 East, 6 Pacific on VSiN. So the big guy who's been begging his whole entire life just to be noticed, he got involved with a donk film, like they were, this production company was filming this Donk documentary that isn't going to see the life of day, even in the people that filmed it. Like, they haven't even watched the tape. So Dustin, he hooks up with this girl, Donk Smalls, right, who's posting thirst traps across sports betting content. And he sits down and they're breaking down the contest and he calls me shaking. He's like, I can't believe it. I'm going to be a star. I was just on a reality show. And I was like, oh, really? A reality show? What network is it airing on? No, we don't have a network secured yet, but eventually it's going to pop off. And I can tell VEASAN to shove it because he thought, you know, he was all of a sudden going to be Puck from the real world. I mean, it was unbelievable. All of a sudden he's on Bravo. Can you imagine? So he gets involved in a documentary. Now, this is just the big guy's luck. Think about this. Simultaneously, there are two documentaries about Circus Survivor being filmed. One is a five-part docuseries that we're airing on YouTube TV. Two is the one Dustin was involved in that will never see the light of day. You can't make it up.
I'm not going to dispute your reports. There's a lot of truth.
Everything I said was truthful.
There's a lot of truth.
I'm not being a jerk, but that was all truthful.
Well, I would have paid them to be in the one that got aired. Let's be clear about that. I would have given them money to put me in it. But the one that I was a part of, I want to just point out how this went down. Just having a good time with Steph Smalls. We're drinking up at Legacy Club, doing our thing, you know, gallivanting around town. These producers meet us, say, we want you to be in our documentary. I think it's Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born. I think this is my Bradley Cooper. I'm about to have my moment. Finally getting away from this guy. Someone's going to see that I am a star, not him. And I'm going to sit down and just own this documentary. Come to find out, not only is the documentary not even in it, not even going to see the light of day, but I'm in it for 30 seconds of the entire thing. That's not going to make it for the entire, for anyone to see. So the thought was, this is my moment. So this thing that wasn't even good, I'm 30 seconds of, and I was told that there was someone, I don't want to give away his name, who owned the production company who was making this documentary.
Yeah, Marky Mark.
Yeah, he was in a group called The Funky Bunch. I thought this was going to be something big. Apparently, it doesn't exist anymore. It's dead. It's been burnt.
Okay, well, thank you for that explanation. Well, anyway, make sure you check out our documentary.
Yeah, the good
Very
one.
Very legit.
The good
one. Yeah, the good one. Coming up 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Monday, August 19th, right here. Good job by the big guy. Don't give up on your dream. Okay, a couple of things as we welcome you back. So Samich has checked in. We're going to be betting race 6 at Saratoga.
Hold on.
What?
Should we bet who he likes to come in second place? Can we do that? Because he's been consistent now two in a row of coming in second place.
Well, that is so. Again, Samich, that's on the big guy. I'm just looking for action, and I did not handicap the card. So it's not a terrible zing, but I'm going to stay away from that. Here's what we've got. Race 6, Saratoga, low-level claimers who have never won. So he's starting with excuses. That's okay. 6 should be the favorite. I like the 1 at the price. So me and Samich and the rest of the family, we're going to bet the 1 and the 6 coming up here next at Saratoga. You do what you want. Maybe take the 6, who he thinks is going to be the favorite, okay?
How can I get creative with that?
You're not going to get creative. I just don't have time to explain it to you. So get with the program, big guy.
I'll bet both of them to win is what you're saying.
Okay, go for it. Have a good time. Now, speaking of winning, we're going to get into the preseason. And again, we can talk about Drake May. I think it would be – I have opinions as to what – the quarterback situation is with the New England Patriots. We'll just leave it at that. But again, the dogs have been cashing. The unders are 13-4. If I'm being honest with you, I've been blanketing these unders, so we've been doing pretty well. Yesterday was a banner day for the boys. And when the boys hit, I got to give them props. And because we make you money, right? So yesterday on the program, including Dustin Sweetelson, who had a tremendous day, he went 3-1. But Aaron Halterman, who has consistently been one of the sharpest guys here at VEASAN, doesn't even get paid, but he has, you know, racingdudes.com. He went 3-1. Two of those winners, plus 145 and plus 150. Oh, by the way, he gave out the winner in race 8 at Del Mar. That is a banner day for Halterman. The big guy went 3-1. Samich went 1-0. Applebaum went 1-0. Stuart Durst went 1-0. Jensen Lewis went 1-0. Tyler Shoemaker, that's okay. He went 0-1. But overall, it looks like we added up to 10-3 on the picks yesterday with a ton of plus money all over the place. So that is a banner job by the boys yesterday.
It's a good time of year to have the good vibes flowing when it comes to the bets, because it's about to get real once football starts. You want to be seeing things the right way. That's what I would say about that.
I would say the same thing, and I appreciate you for saying it. Can I just give a quick update on the hunger strike? So coming up at 4 o'clock, that will officially be 72 hours where I haven't eaten food, okay? I am 68 and a half hours in. Again, Zin, water, and green tea, and a little electrolytes. And for the rest of you hippies that are giving me a hard time because I've drank some bone broth, yes, it's true. It's not hearty. It's not chicken noodle soup. It's bone broth, people. But look at the energy. I'm going to tell you something right now. I have adjusted my life moving forward. Now, I still can't taste anything, which got me bitter. We're headed into the weekend. I'm freaking hungry, all right? I want to eat something. There I am with the Dalai Lama chilling. I'll tell you what I am going to do, and maybe somebody with the family here wants to tag along. 2 days a week, 5 out of 7 days moving forward for the rest of my life, I'm going to eat food. 2 days a week, fasting, because I've never felt better.
Good luck with that. I respect your game. I respect your hustle. I'll make up for what you don't eat those 2 days.
Okay. Thank you. And I appreciate
your... I got to balance the economy out. You go to the grocery store a lot, if I'm going to be transparent. Every time unless it's just your excuse to get me off the phone because I do get a little chatty. But you're at the grocery store like 4 or 5 days a week. And I do feel like Trader Joe's near you is probably going to shut down if you're not eating 2 out of 7 days a week.
That is true. And by the way, those of you that think that explanation of the documentary was windy, you should hear him on the phone. But anyway, I've decided.
Adderall. I need Adderall bad.
I've decided I'm going 2 days a week, no food, because I feel tremendous.
Yeah.
But I do. I am hungry and I want to eat and I can't taste and I refuse to do it. If I come in here on Monday having not eaten any food, that will be like... That's going to be 6 straight days of fasting.
So the not being able to taste, you're not even thinking like, this is what I want to break the fast with. There's no excitement. There's no anything towards your next meal.
No, food's not my jam. And I'm going to give you some other news, which is good. I don't know what it means. I've literally lost 2 pounds in 3 days of not eating any
food.
Hold on. That's pretty good.
I guess you don't have much weight to lose. I think I would have lost like 15 pounds if I didn't.
I went from 180 to 178. It's not bad.
And for you, there's not a lot to lose, so I guess that makes sense.
I was freaking out that I was going to lose like 20 pounds. 2 pounds.
That
weighed
bone
myself
broth.
Right before this dumb show started.
That bone broth, it's more than just satiating. There's something in it.
There might be. Now, the Patriot fans that were in attendance, maybe they were satiated by Drake May last night. It was pretty good. I don't really know what to say. He's throwing against backups for the Eagles. You know, a couple of big throws. 6 for 11, 62 total yards, a rushing touchdown. Fine. But he's not ready. That's my impression in watching. And I generally believe, let's get real bullets going once the regular season starts. Let's start these rookies. What are you drafting them for? There's a few reasons I think the Patriots, and by the way, the Patriots sitting at 4.5 in the season win total is a gift for unders bettors. Let's come back and talk about how that juice is adjusted. All right, don't let yesterday and Drake May fool you. And we're going to delve into the quarterback competitions and the wild swings of these lines in week 2 of the preseason. That's coming up next here, Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Pay Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. 4 minutes to post Saratoga Race 6. So, again, here's what we're going to do as a family on a Friday. Come on, let's get involved. Let's have a little fun. So, it's Race 6, low-level claimers. Six should be the favorite. This is Mike Somich, but he likes the 1 at that price. So that price right now is 3-1 on Mama's Mitty. And one of the best on the planet, Jose Ortiz, up top of Mama's Mitty. Michael Maker, the trainer. This is a good little combination there. Number 6, Braca, Joel Rosario. but plus negative relationship with Rosario. He's going to go off as the favorite, it looks like, at 2-1. So what I'm doing is I'm backing Samic with the one. Mama's Mitty, you can do what you want. It sounds like you're going to fade our guy.
No. No. I already have a bet in place for the other race. I bet the wrong race. We better hope the 1-6 at Gulfstream hit, because that's what I bet.
Yeah, you just bet South Florida. This is in upstate New York.
It's called Saratoga. So what was it? Was the 1-6?
We're betting the 1 at 3-1.
All right, I'm in. Oh, okay. It doesn't let me choose second place. All right, I guess I'll bet him to win.
No, that's disrespectful. And you can answer to Samich when he joins us later in the program for his hour on a Friday.
Why? It would be a skill if he was good at identifying second place finishers. It's like being the person who puts your whole reputation in this business on being yes or no run in the first inning in baseball. It's the same thing.
Okay, well done there, big guy. Well done. Okay, let's talk about this preseason. First off, if you want to have an idea as to how these coaches, it's so disparate on how they're handling the preseason. Did you see what Sean McVay's doing? Now, Sean McVay, if you're starting a team today, maybe you can have your Belichick at 75. Maybe you can have your Andy Reid. I'm starting with Sean McVay. All you have to do is go through the resume. The guy continues. Yesterday, last year, nothing was expected of the Los Angeles Rams, and there they are at Ford Field. Place was raucous, and they almost beat the Lions. Okay, so again, Sean McVay, his resume right now is unquestioned. He's got a Super Bowl. He's got a Super Bowl runner-up. The guy's freaking crazy. He's not even 40 years old. He's incredible. Now, he, unlike a John Harbaugh, unlike an Andy Reid, unlike some of the old school coaches, he does not respect the preseason. Now, how much doesn't he? He doesn't start his starters. Stetson Bennett is going to be starting this weekend against the Chargers. The Chargers are laying 2.5. But how disrespectful is Sean McVay? He's not going to coach the game tomorrow. What? Yeah, it's true. So he's going to have Aubrey Pleasant, who's an assistant on his staff, coach preseason game number 2. It is such an FU to the preseason, and I love it. So he's going to be up in the box. Now, this is similar to what Shanahan did with Clay Kubiak in week 1 of the preseason. He just said, here, Clay Kubiak, you call the plays. And Shanahan, who's a micromanager, calls the plays during the regular season. He's like, yeah, this doesn't matter. We just got done with the scrimmages. But there is a place to start, big guy. Sean McVay, I'm not saying he doesn't respect the preseason, but he's not going to coach in the preseason. So do with that information what you will, which I will, and lay 2, which you can find in the market right now on the Chargers.
Yeah, I'd also add that Stetson Bennett, there was a lot of Stetson Bennett against the Cowboys on Sunday. And here's what I could tell you from watching just about that entire game and had the first half under. The unders will definitely be in play with Stetson Bennett there. He turns the ball over a ton. He's going to force a lot of plays that aren't there. He's very rusty, even though he's 37 years old and it's his first full season as a rookie, missing all of last year. Stetson Bennett cannot finish drives, cannot punch the ball in the end zone, and he's always one play away from turning it over. I would look at the under in this game.
Okay. Now, what you're looking at, and let's start with these quarterback battles, and then we'll get into the swings and talk about each game coming up tomorrow. The quarterback battles, like, here's what I have, and you can look to the market to confirm this and some corroboration. Like, right now, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the only live bet to make is in Las Vegas with O'Connell and Minshew, right? And it's essentially a pick 'em. Maybe Minshew. Last week, Minshew was plus 105. Maybe he's a $125 favored now, somewhere in that range. And so that is, as far as tiers, still competitive. And Antonio Pierce, and I think this is another reason to look at the Raiders this week. And there's been a 3-point swing. So the Raiders opened 3.5, Dustin. They've jumped up to 6.5. I like the Raiders. It's a heavy price to lay in the preseason, but I like the Raiders. Because the one thing, and I don't agree with it, but Antonio Pierce saying, I'm going to name a starter after week 2, that means Minshew and O'Connell and whatever factions there are in that locker room, they're going to be going balls to the walls. And Antonio Pierce said, if you're healthy, you're playing. Very much the opposite of what Sean McVay's doing, which is not coaching and not playing anybody. But Antonio Pierce is like, look, if you're a Raider and you're healthy, you're playing in preseason game number two. And he has put an edict out there. I'm going to name a starter. So you're going to get the best from O'Connell. You're going to get the best from Minshew. They both want to earn the starter spot. So, again, I'm going to lay it at the Raiders, Cowboys, 6.5.
Yeah, I actually like that with you. It's a big number to lay in the preseason, especially the way things have gone so far. But everything you laid out is spot on. And I think when you handicap the NFL preseason down to three games, one element you have to handicap is the psyche of the head coach. You mentioned Sean McVay. He literally doesn't care what happens here. Dan Campbell's got the infrastructure in Detroit. He doesn't care what happens here. Antonio Pierce is obsessed with getting his fingerprints on this team. He's a throwback. He's old school. You may say it's antiquated, but he's trying to create a culture. It can't just be smoking cigars a year ago after a few wins. Right, he's got to figure out what the culture is and the identity is for these Raiders. He wants tough, throwback football. He can establish that by having his team play hard in the preseason. It's a bit antiquated. I'm not sure it really leads to success, but I understand someone like him wanting to do that at this point in his very first preseason camp as the head coach of an NFL team. So when I look at how he's going to approach this game, you have to side with the Raiders in this one simply because of that. Also, you're taking on the Cowboys. The Cowboys are throwing Trey Lance to the Wolves. Trey Lance, we're finding out there's not a lot there. It'll go down as one of the all-time bad draft picks of all time. But taking on the Cowboys and Trey Lance is just running around, kind of just free-flowing, figuring it out on the fly. And I'm not saying he has a lot of help, but we're also realizing that this guy is not a first-round quarterback, and the Cowboys are just throwing him out there so they don't risk Cooper Rush getting hurt in case Dak goes down later in the year. There's not much else there for the Cowboys to work with. So my point is, you're getting no offense from Dallas, and you have a Las Vegas team that's coming in battling, one, trying to instill an identity, but two, the quarterback's trying to prove they deserve the job. You have to bet the Raiders.
I totally agree. It's a very good breakdown, and you're 100% right about the tobacco vibes. That works in a vacuum. It's not going to carry over to legitimate success. And look, we've got a lot of Cowboy fans here at the network, and I don't know if you know this, but our new executive vice president of programming, Steve Cohen, he thinks he's a Raider, all right? He thinks he's Willie Brown. He thinks he's Fred Biletnikoff. He thinks he's Ted Hendricks, okay? He's the biggest Raider fan on the planet. A bit of a donk, but a huge Raider fan. And you know what? I'm going to text him. Who do you want, Minshew or O'Connell? And I'm going to give you the right answer.
Hold on.
The right answer is Minshew. Because what you said about Antonio Pierce is 100% true. Part of the reason he's doing what he's doing with the starters and playing the antiquated mode is because he's trying to build an identity heading into his first full season. Oh. What happened?
The race I accidentally bet, unless it's Samich's, I just won $648 off a $15 bet. What
You're
bet
kidding.
Just hit? I swear to God.
Hold on. I'm going to finish my thought. We're going to come back in 2 minutes at the top of the hour and break this down. Because it is true, Samich's horse just finished second at Saratoga. You can't make it up. So Dustin wouldn't know a horse from a mule. Just won $600 on an exacta. Samich, who's a professional handicapper, won myriad contests, keeps coming in second. This is gambling, Susan. We're going to come back and find out exactly how the big guy misclicked his ass into $615. But quickly, just to finish up my thought, different strokes, different ideologies. I can't believe this happened. Antonio Pierce wants to build an identity with the Raiders. Also, let's be fair. It's the Raiders. Oftentimes, it could be a one-year audition. That's the reason I believe Minshew's going to be the starter. Yeah, O'Connell's the guy in the locker room. First off, you know why Indy moved on from Minshew? Because they didn't want people dealing with saying, start Minshew over Richardson. You bring in Flacco, who's a guy that's like, yeah, I'm committed to being a backup. If somebody goes down, I'm in. But Minshew won games last year. Pierce is going to start Minshew. We have a developing situation on the program. I believe the big guy misclicked into an ice-cold exacta for $615. But I know that Samich just gave us another place winner. Second place. at Saratoga. The one at GP paid $86 for a $2 win. That might be what you got. We'll come back and clear that up next.